Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. This is the day the Lord has made. I want to continue the book of Daniel chapter 11 and 12 and believe I could wrap it up in chapter 12 in this broadcast. But this is very interesting. If you have been following this radio broadcast, you should have learned a lot. And what I want to talk to right now is to point to some key verses from the prophecy that the angel Gabriel gave to Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 11. Some key verses that prophesied of what will be happening between kings as they are trying to negotiate for peace, that they will be telling lies to one another. I'll point to Daniel chapter 11 verse 27. Now this is particularly talking about the king of the north and the king of the south. Like I said, this is north of Israel and south of Israel. So without going into more detail, but the angel has gone into a lot of detail in this chapter 11. You have to read it and study it yourself and go and study history to be able to understand it, because there's a other writers that have written some histories that may probably be that are putting these prophecies to mean that they happen in the days just after Christ, while some other believers in this generation are thinking these are prophecies that could also be talking about the future end of the world. And here is what we can see here. An example is this. It said in verse 27, Daniel chapter 11, as I read, it said, and both these kings, he's talking about the kings that have negotiating for peace, and we'll be talking about the king of the north and the king of the south. So both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Now just think about that. Let's talk about in this generation. We have heard about America and Russia trying to negotiate for peace treaties or disarmament, where they wanted to make a treaty that destroy all your nuclear weapons and we will destroy all our nuclear weapons and things like that. But the same thing with the north and the south in the generation of the Roman Empire and the Egyptian Empire, trying to make some peace. Or we can bring this prophecy to say it's actually prophesied in the end of the world. Or between the Israelis and the Palestinians that have been negotiating for peace over the years, that both of these kings' hearts will be to do mischief. In their heart, they're not ready to give in to anything, but they wanted to behave as if they are talking peace. And you can see that between the Palestinians and the Israelis. You can see that between the Western Americans and the Russians. All these years they are negotiating on the table. The angel has already said, two kings will be doing that over and over again, talk, and they are speaking lies to one another, when they in their heart know that they are not going to do exactly what they are saying, but they wanted to sign an agreement that you destroy your own weapons, we will destroy our weapons, so that there will be peace. But he said the 10 lies. Then he went further. He said again in verse 31, is another prophecy that people believe could have occurred in the days when the Roman Empire took and destroyed the temple of Jerusalem. Verse 31 said, an arm shall stand on his path, talking of the, on the path of the king of the north, I believe, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. That is, in the days of the Roman Empire, they actually tried to pollute the temple, but the Jews resisted it. And it went further. He said, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice. That is when they stopped the worshiping of the God of the Israelites, the God of Israel in the temple. Actually, in the end, they actually destroyed that temple. But he prophesied here, they will take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that make it desolate. That is, they started wanting people to worship Caesar. In that generation, they tried to make people to worship Caesar. So the Jews were also persecuted by the Romans, just like they also persecuted the Christians in the end. But they first persecuted the Jews, and after the Jews were scattered, then the persecution came again against the true believers in Christ. You see, so this has been prophesied, and it went further by the angel, continuing and saying in verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. And well, this occurred in most of the time. You see the Roman Empire trying to make Herod was claiming to be the king of the Israelites, but he was not, because he didn't believe in their covenant of Moses. And so you can say Herod fulfilled that part where he said he was against the covenant, and they corrupt him. The Romans corrupted Herod and make him by flattery. They corrupted the king Herod, and he became part of the Roman Empire, afflicting the Jews himself. So, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, And that was the reason why the Jews didn't believe in King Herod. They didn't follow him. The people that are called the Jews in Judea, they didn't really believe that Herod was their king. So they rejected Herod to be their king. And Herod was more or less against the... They claimed that Herod was not a Jew. That was why they didn't follow him. But Herod wanted to say whether he was part Jew or part or something. And Herod aligned himself with the Roman Empire, and that they made him king. And because of that, he became like a corrupted king, oppressing the Jews also. Now, he said, they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame. That's where persecution rose up against the Jews, and in the end against the Christians. He's talking about persecution, right? And when he said, they that understand will fall by a sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. The Christians were persecuted by Rome over the time of the apostles, and up for almost 200 years after that, they were persecuting the Christians, throwing them in the flame, burning them at stake, crucifying many believers. And that is what the angel prophesied here, that they will be persecuting in verse 33 and 34. And he said, now when they shall fall, they shall be open with a little hair, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And that also occurred to the Christians, where they are, where it look as if another emperor kind of raise up and try to lessen the punishment upon the believers. But in the end, what happened again? Another Roman Empire took over, or papacy took over, and started persecuting Christians again. And he claimed that they are the only church, and they persecuted Christians for a long time also in Europe, using the power of the emperor or the power of the papacy that have control over the government. And that was still part of the persecution that went on for another 200 years. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them wise, even to the time of the end. So that continue for a long time, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now, after that, the angel went further to talk about the kings that rise up and begin to fight this battle. Now, jump again to where it begins to wind up as the end of the world is coming to end, because the angel was giving us a snapshot of what was happening in the world, governments against governments, over the years, all through for another 1,000 years until at coming to the end. At the end of the world, look at verse 40. And I have described in the earlier chapter where I talk about verse 38 that the angel was talking about the God, the king that will be rising up and forgetting the God of his fathers. That is verse 37, and that seems to be talking about whoever was the ruler of Israel as a nation, Israel, in that generation. And that is talking more of this generation that we are in. Here in verse 37 says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. That's talking about the God of Abraham. That whoever was king of Israel is no more regarding the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. He said, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. That is where they begin to invest a lot of money in nuclear weapons and in armament, and not really in the God of spiritual power. They trust more in their nuclear weapons and their guns and their machinery rather than in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and God of David that shows wonders through supernatural power. And that is being summarized here in the book of Daniel, that a God whom their father does not know shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones. That's a lot of investment in the God of forces, in the nuclear weapons. That's like a God to them, where they are building up weapons to keep themselves alive, to keep their nation alive. And verse 39 said, then thus shall he do in the most strongholds, the strange God. Said, the angel keep calling it a God, you know, because anything that you worship is a God. Whether it's just studying books, it could become your God if that's what you are making to your priority. When the government of a nation begins to make their major priority is investing in the military, investing in the nuclear weapons, and they are building some big machinery, that becomes their God, their idol. And that's what the angel was saying here. They are not trusting in the supernatural power of the true and living God. So the angel said, the God that their father never knew is whom they are worshipping and increasing with glory and with goods. And shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Verse 40 says, at the time of the end, now after all those continue for years, there will be kind of skirmishes or peace or whatever it is. But at the end, this is what will happen at the end. Verse 40. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. Now the king of the south will be like the Arabs, south of Israel, Arabs and the Egyptians. That's the south of Israel. They will push at him, means that there will be another war between the Israelis and the Arabs that will start this world war. Because he's going to describe a world war right now. He said, at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him. Which means he is at the center. And that's why we say the last king he's talking about here is the king that is ruling over Israel. See, the king of the south will push at him, the king of the north will come against him like a flood, like a whirlwind. And that looked like a United Nations. The king of the north will be like Russia and some Eastern Europeans. But he didn't mention the West, and I didn't mention the East also. But he's going to mention the East in a moment. And he went further, he said, and the king of the east of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, that's the land of Palestine, and many countries shall be overthrown. That's almost like they are taking over all the lands in the glorious land. That looked like what people have been prophesying, that the northern Russia, they think Russia is going to come down anytime against Israel. Because they have their own agenda, or because they are just academic, they didn't like what's going on in Israel. Okay, that's look like it's, and when look at what is happening here, look like the king of the north they are talking about is going to come not just against Israel, it's going to come over all the countries in that neighborhood and try to just take them over. And if you look at what is going on right now, the United Nations seems to be having so much power that they might say, these countries where there are just too much trouble, the Middle East, why don't we just send an army of United Nations army and just take over all these countries that are having trouble, so that before they do any havoc to the world. And that looks like what is being prophesied here, because the king of the north coming with whirlwind to take every country over. It's what it says. It said that, and shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. Whether that is being planned or not, this seems to be what the angel is saying. Who is the king of the north that could do this? Maybe the United Nations, in collaboration with the Russian power and the European power, the European Economic Community. Who knows? Maybe they are already planning this in the background. It looks as if they are trying to take over all those countries in the Middle East that look like they are troublemakers, because they may be thinking of that right now. Or maybe they are not thinking about it, but look at what he said. He said that many countries will be overthrown. So whoever is this king of the north that is doing this, some people thought it was just Russia that will do it. But Russia, they are not do it by themselves. Most likely it could be something else, like European Economic Community with the United Nations going on. And maybe the American will say, we don't agree with this anyway. And they will go ahead with the Russian leading to go ahead and just overthrow all these countries of the Middle East that are causing trouble. And this is what we think we see that is being prophesied. Like, it could happen that way, it may not happen that way, but it's a world war that will take place in the Middle East, centralized around Jerusalem. And I'll bring to you the book of Daniel, the book of Zechariah, in a moment to describe this. You may say, well, all we are saying is still look like we are just postulating. We do not see, because this is not history. When it is not history, then it becomes like a guesswork, or we can look at the news and say, maybe this is what's going to happen. But the one that is history, that has already taken place, when we look back at history, that is precisely what we can point and say, this is what prophesied, this is what happened, like how the Messiah came and how the Messiah was cut off. But this that is yet to happen, we can only guess. Looking at the world events now, and looking at what was prophesied, and say, this most likely is how it will happen. So don't fault this explanation, but just say it could happen that way, and it may not happen that way. But it's precisely what the angel is saying, is some kings of the north will come down south upon Jerusalem and countries will be taken over. So who is this king of the north? Will it be just one country like Russia, or will it be the conglomeration of countries in the northern part that may be leading the United Nations into that direction? Because right now there are three or four major powers that have a say in the United Nations, like China, America, maybe Russia, and maybe another country, that they can decide and say, this is what the Security Council should do. One of them may say, we are not going to support it, but the other can still go ahead and try to implement it. And then there could be a trouble if the one that does not support it wants to stand in their way. And this is what you see right here. He went further in verse 42. He said, verse 41, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. even Edom and Moab and the sheep of the shielded of Ammon. Almost like saying some countries in the Middle East will not still be able to be overthrown by this new, what you call a campaign. It's like a campaign. Look at what is happening right now. America military campaign, and they just overthrew Afghanistan with this idea of a campaign to subdue the terrorists. If another country try to do that same thing in that end of the world, that is what the Bible seems to be pointing out to us here. That at the time of the end, a northern kingdom will just try to carry up a campaign to overthrow all these countries like that. Let's say like Russia went, like America and its allies went against Afghanistan. Let's say they didn't want to stop at Afghanistan. They say, let's take out Iraq. Why? Because they have been troublemakers. Let's say they want to come back and say, let's take out Sudan, because they also participated in this terrorist campaign. And they also say, maybe we want to overthrow Libya and get rid of their leader. And that is a campaign. When you have a military campaign like that, that is exactly what this prophecy seems to be saying. There will be a northern kingdom that want to raise up a military campaign, and that will come down south and begin to overthrow all those countries that will include the land of Palestine and Jerusalem and the glorious land. That's the glorious land, is the land of Israel. Now, that is being prophesied here, that something will happen like that. But it will be resisted, because that type of campaign will be resisted. America was able to go to Afghanistan because it was able to get all the major powers of the world on his side. Okay? Nobody has resisted him. He could go against another Iraq or against Libya, and they will still be supporting him. But when they begin to resist, that is when it becomes another country resists him, another big country resists him, and say, you can't do it. And if they went to do it, and that country come against them, that becomes a world war. That is what we are talking about. The Second World War was fought like that. The German country, by Adolf Hitler, wanted to start a campaign to take over all the countries in Europe. And then he was succeeding. He took over countries like France was taken over. He took over Austria. He took over most of those other countries, Poland, until there was resistance from the other countries, from England and from Europe and from America, that started the world war, and then from Russia, because he wanted to take over Russia. That was a campaign that Adolf Hitler started to expand and to overthrow all these countries. And that type of campaign will always be resisted by other bigger powers. And that is what the angel is prophesying here, that the king of the north in verse 41 will come down like a campaign, military campaign, either to overthrow or to start to claim that he's trying to stop a violence or cause all these troublemakers to overthrow them and make them not be troublemakers and put their right government there, like America is doing to Afghanistan, or they will try to do it against Iraq and so on. That is the campaign that the angel is prophesying here, and it will take place just like that. But we don't know which is the king of the north that will do this. Will it be just Russia, or Russia will be able to come with the European countries to come and do this? We do not know yet, because we are still looking ahead into the future. But the angel said it will happen. And verse 42 said, but the land of Egypt shall not escape them either. And verse 43 said, he shall have power over all the treasures of gold and silver, which means they will be rich enough to do this. And Libya and Ethiopia shall be at his service. It will go far down to take over all those countries like Libya. Like I just mentioned, Libya has been a thorn in the neck of America all the time, that they say Gaddafi has been their king, their ruler Gaddafi has been sponsoring terrorists. And that looks like exactly what the prophet angel is saying, that this king of the north will come and begin to take over all those terrorist countries, or countries that have been sponsoring terrorism. And that looks like what is going on right now. The stage is set. Can you see the stage set? When America is doing something, maybe when America is selling, another country would like to do the same thing, and it may be resisted at the end, because it's going to be resisted. And let's look at how it's going to be resisted here. So, but tidings out of the east, verse 44. But tidings out of the east, which means the eastern bloc will not agree with what that northern country is doing. The eastern bloc will be like China and Japan. When they begin to say, no, we don't agree with this, maybe United Nations from the north, bringing all the Europeans and America, Russia down south, will be trying to do this. Maybe it's the United Nations that is doing this campaign, and China will say, no way, we don't want to agree with this, because they say the tyrants out of the east will be the first one to trouble him. And out of the north, which means other countries from the north also, that will not agree with this thing that's taking place, shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Which means, after there have been some resistance, whoever is doing this campaign will now say, we just destroy everything. All, I mean, it's no more like let's make peace here. He wanted to just destroy everything. Almost like if they have nuclear weapon, like I said in the other broadcast, if the nation of Israel is the one that is really doing this, that is, if the king of the north is talking about, it's not the king of Arab country, if the king of Israel that is doing this, and they try to come against him, he may also use this nuclear weapon. So whoever is being told, you see, what we are realizing in this prophecy is that we don't know who he is talking about. He's talking of the king of the north, or the king of the center, or the king of the south, unless he mentioned that king of the south. So this chapter gave us a general plan of what will happen at the end of the world. But we that are watching this news events in this generation can see the pattern being laid. We can see the end in prophecy, that this is how it's going to happen. The detail we may not know, but it's all laid out, that the way the world has been formed and shaped right now, it will fulfill this prophecy to the letter anytime soon. It only takes the wrong leader to take over and begin to do this campaign, and there will be resistance, and there will be world war. And watch Japan. The Lord told me that watch Japan also when it comes to who is going to initiate this world war. And verse 45 said, and he shall plant the commands of tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. We have always attributed this particular part of it to say, actually it's talking of the Antichrist, who is going to come like the prince of the Roman Empire, but by that time he will actually be ruling from Jerusalem. So it's no more like the king of the north, but it's actually the king of the center. That is exactly what this prophecy is talking about. That is, this Antichrist leader of the world that more or less suddenly moved his headquarters to Jerusalem, and people have been watching the papacy that they are trying to move the headquarters to Jerusalem, or the United Nations trying to take over that part of the world and say, let's just make it a United Nations center so that there will be no more fighting between the Arabs and the Israelis. All of those movements or talk or secret plan are being watched by we prophetic scholars, and they are almost fulfilling these scriptures. But the Bible said that is how it's going to be at the end of the world. But what really will take place, you will see it in the book of Zechariah chapter 14, where the Lord actually was saying this detail we have read here in the, by this angel, is telling us so much detail of what will happen, but this is the summary of it. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, God is talking to the prophet. He said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go in forth into captivity, but the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day over the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north. That is when God come down to deliver his land. Like I said before, I said that land does not belong to the United Nations. That land does not even belong to the Israelis that are there, or to the Arabs, or to the Palestinians. The land belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The seed of Abraham that was prophesied in the Bible, that God promised that promise to, was talking about Christ. The seed is Christ, and not just the Jews or the Israelis. It's to one seed. The promise was given to one seed, and that promise was the seed of Abraham, is actually the Christ, the King, the Son of God. And he came as a human being, a Jewish man, and the land belonged to him. That was the seed that was promised. So which means the whole land that God has promised actually belonged to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Jews in that generation didn't accept him as the Messiah, so they crucified him. So he was cut off from his land. Now they are still fighting on that land. The Arabs are fighting over it. The Jews and the Israelis are fighting over it. It does not belong to any of them. The United Nations thinks they have to control it. It does not belong to them either. The Messiah owns it, and he's going to come down to destroy them all and take it over, and then give it to whomsoever he will. Like he said, he told the apostles, he said, I give you positions in my kingdom. The kingdom belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave them to be rulers over the tribes of Israel, and the saints of God from all the Gentile world will be given the rest of the world, the rest of the planet earth, to rule and reign with Christ forever and ever. So the earth belongs to us, the Christians. They may persecute us, they may mistreat us, But the land, the whole world belongs to the saints. The people of the Bible said in the prophecies of Daniel chapter 2, where the stone was cut without hand, that is the kingdom of God. To heed the United Nations government and the stone and the image of the world at the end of the world, which is defeat, and break into pieces. And the kingdom and the greatness of the kingdom of the air shall be given to the saints of the Most High. And do you like to be one of the saints? That's my king, my information to you. That's my request. That's my invitation to you. Would you like to be one of the saints of Christ? You have to bow your head and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because this planet belongs to Jesus, like I said. He is the seed of Abraham that the land was promised. And he was cut off from his own land. And the people that cut him off are still saying, they don't believe him, but they're still saying this land belongs to our great grandfathers. But the land really belongs to the Messiah, Christ. And he's giving it to those whom he has selected among the Jews that are born again, that are saints of the Most High God. And among the Gentiles, the whole world belongs to him. And he's giving it to the saints of God that are from among the Gentiles. So we are going to reign all over the world. But do you want to be one of them? You've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you've got to invite him in right now. And ask him to set you free from sin. Because that's how you become saints. By he giving you power to become a son of God. As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you like to be a son of God? So that you will be a partaker of the kingdom of this of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Father God very soon. When Christ shall take it over. And we want you to be part of them. Say it after me rather. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I renounce sin today. I repent for my sins. I know and now take that you are the Son of God. You died for me on the cross and you rose again. Come into my heart and make me a new creature. I will live for you from today. I want to be in your kingdom that is coming. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for those people that are listening. Touch them and give them the Holy Ghost. Let them live a clean life from now on, believing and trusting God, ready to lay down their life for Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to write to me so that I can send you some more exhortation. There's a message that I wrote that I said, who is this great king of Jerusalem? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophecies pointed to him that he is the great king of Jerusalem. No matter who is the king right now or who was the king before, they have never been the greater king. The king of Jerusalem, that is the great king, must have a triple crown ministry. He must be a king, he must be a priest, an high priest, and he must be a prophet. And only Jesus Christ fulfilled the three. And I prove it from the scriptures. Who is this great king of Jerusalem? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's coming to take it over. Because the seed of Abraham that was promised the land is the Messiah. Those that refuse him, that say he's not the Messiah, they are all going to be gone. They will be destroyed. Whether they are Jews or Gentiles. So that's why you've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and live for him. Let him fill your heart with the Holy Ghost. Write to
Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050.
God bless you. On the internet, our web address is gospeldistribution.org, www.gospeldistribution.org. You can send us email from the internet, and you can send us email to webmaster@gospeldistribution.org. God bless you.